This morning, I want you to turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 4, and I want to lift a single verse as a starting place for what I want to share, what the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you today. In Mark chapter 4, verse 39, this is what it says in the New King James Version. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. This is the word of God. I want to try to say something this morning about Jesus on board. Jesus on board. Amen. God sometimes sends us into situations where he knows that we will come to the end of our strength, abilities, and resources. These situations are often outside of anything that we've experienced before. But is it in those times when God wants to teach us, teach his people, how to trust him completely? We can hear James echoing in the background saying, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete." God desires our complete trust. And that's a challenging statement. He desires our complete trust. And most of us want to trust God completely. Most of us. But there are many who trust God partially in some areas of life. Most people trust God, but in other areas of their life, not so much. We trust God's grace for salvation, but there are some times when we hear what God says, but we feel better trusting our own instinct. Sometimes we trust God partially. There are some who trust God skeptically. Those are people who are inclined to question and to doubt God's reliability. They are skeptical that God would keep his word. They are skeptics, doubters. And then there are those who trust God out of desperation, a hopeless sense that a situation is so bad as to be impossible to deal with on your own, so they desperately turn to God as a last option. But God's goal is to teach those who belong to him to trust him fully. The writer of Proverbs says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path." We are to trust God fully in every set of circumstances in which we find ourselves, even when he sends us into situations where he knows that we will come to an end of our strength and ability and resources. When we come to that situation that is outside of anything that we have ever experienced before, God wants us to learn to trust in him. In this text, Jesus began to teach by the sea. You can find that at the beginning of chapter 4, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4, verse 1 sets the scene for what we find in the text that was chosen for today. At the beginning of the text, Jesus began to teach by the sea. A great multitude gathered to him. And so he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea, and then he taught them many things by parables. The Bible says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to his disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." When they left the multitude, they took Jesus along in the boat as he was. In other words, since Jesus was already in the boat, they took him with them. They set out on this journey in obedience to Jesus, but with Jesus on board. And it's important to point out that in this experience that we find in the text, there's a life lesson that is intended for those who chose to follow him. These in the boat were disciples. These were disciples already on the boat with Jesus. They were obeying Jesus' directives. It was Jesus who instructed them, saying, "Let us cross over to the other side." It is an invitation, but it's also a directive. And the boat in the text becomes a metaphor for life with Jesus on board, and the crossing over to the other side becomes a metaphor for our life journey from this side to the next. Y'all follow me? The people in the boat are people who had been chosen, and that's one of the points we want to make this morning. They were chosen. They were chosen by the Lord to become his disciples, and they were in process of becoming his disciples. They were in the early stages of their relationship with Jesus. They were followers of Jesus. They had left all to follow him. They believed his announcement that the kingdom of God was at hand. They believed him to be Messiah, the promised one, and later on, Peter would make his confession of faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. These on board had a confession of faith. They had a possession of faith, which is the gift that God gives to his chosen, which enables them to believe on Jesus and to trust in him. These people in this boat were chosen. Now, I wanted to emphasize that fact this morning because as we sail through these rough seas in our lives, it's important for you and I to understand that like the disciples in the boat in the text, we are chosen. We're chosen. The biblical term for this act of God is predestination, which means you were chosen by the Father for salvation before the foundations of the earth was laid. Before God created the heavens and earth, before Genesis 1:1, the divine counsel of God convened and predestined your salvation. That's why you're saved today, and that's why at the end of this service, when you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it was predestined. God chose you before the beginning of time. Not only did God choose you who are saved, but God preserved your genealogy, your line of descendants from your ancestors. And God kept you alive until the fullness of time. And then God, who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, that God then, who preserved your genealogy and kept your life, he then revealed himself to you in the person of Jesus Christ, his son. And by the power and influence of the Holy Spirit and through the grace of God, you received the salvation that God had set aside for you as a gift in eternity past. You are God's masterpiece. He created you anew in Christ Jesus so you can do the good things that God planned for you long ago. You are God's chosen possession. You are chosen. You are chosen to be who you are, and by the providence of God, you are where you are. Now, I wanted to stick something in there that was cultural specific. But then I had to understand that whether you are Irish American or Italian American or whatever other, wherever one's lineage takes them before coming to this young country, you are where you are. You are who you are because God desired to place you where you are, and God designed you to be who you are. And so now, since I included everybody, I can talk to my brothers and sisters of African descent who live in America. We are not here by mistake. It is divine providence that brought us here. You are who you are, and you are where you are by divine design. And wherever you are this morning, you are chosen. You are a possession of God. And don't ever forget that. And wherever you are this morning, since God has chosen you and you have responded to the gift of salvation, he's on board. He's in your life. Verse 37 says that a great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that it was filling. But Jesus was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And the disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And Deacon Comer's translation, he says, "Don't you care that we are drowning?" Then the Bible says Jesus arose in the and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And then he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? Can I include you chosen ones?" How is it that you have no faith? Can I just pause right there? Look at where God has brought you from. Look at what God has done for you. Just take a minute right now and think back how God has preserved you and provided for you and kept you safe. He has kept you in the hollow of his hand. Even when you didn't know him, he knew you. And he kept you for your appointed time. And then you look back and see how God has brought you and look at where you are today and the fact that you can watch this broadcast this morning. How can you, where is your faith? How is it that you have no faith? And the Bible says they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Here's another point I want to lift for our consideration this morning. Jesus was on board, but not bothered by the storm. And that's because storms don't catch Jesus by surprise. This storm in the text, verse 37, said it arose. Did you see that? Underline that. It arose. That is, it gradually intensified in strength. The wind blew gently at first, and then arose to storm status, and the waves beat against the boat. Nobody sleeps through a storm on a little fishing boat in the middle of a sea. God sometimes permits storms in our lives. He has control over the winds and the waves. He commands the winds and the waves. They don't rise unless he permits them to rise. And there are times when God permits storms to rise throughout our journey on life. This storm on the sea did not catch Jesus by surprise, and neither does the storms in your life. They don't catch Jesus by surprise. Jesus sent the disciples because he also sailed with the disciples into and through the storm. Jesus is on board. Brothers and sisters, you and I know from experiences that storms arise, don't we? We know that storms arise. You might be in a storm right now. We are all in sort of a storm right now. We have personal storms that arise in the forms of disease and death and discrimination and divorce and disappointments and sometimes devastation. And today there are raging storms of hate-filled politics, social unrest, economic uncertainty, ecological disaster, and egomania. This pandemic is a storm that is worldwide and wreaking havoc on this nation, COVID-19. It's a storm of unprecedented proportion in our lifetime, but not even the aforementioned storms we are experiencing in our lives today catch Jesus by surprise. As a matter of fact, he already knew what we'd be facing. And in the midst of this pandemic, y'all wear a mask and social distance. In the midst of this economic uncertainty, trust in the Lord. In the midst of this social unrest, be wise about how you participate. In the midst of this this hate-filled politics you got to love anyway, because God is in the midst and he's on board. Three things to remember, and I'm finished today. Number one, as we sail through the storm, remember that Jesus has promised that we can depend on his presence. Jesus was on board. He was asleep, but he was not unaware. In his humanity, he grew tired from a long day of teaching and ministering to the multitude. In his humanity, in his human nature, he was weary. He was weary. He got hungry and he thirsted. But he is still the Son of God. And he promised his presence with us. He was in the beginning with God, and he was God. He became flesh and dwelt among men. That is the pre-existing divine person put on flesh. He is one with the Father who never sleeps or slumbers. And he has promised to be present with us. Listen to him in Matthew chapter 28. After his resurrection and before his ascension, Jesus promised the disciples and us, "Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." And then on the day of Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit, who is a divine continuing presence of Jesus, who abides in us and abides with us. And he gives us strength for endurance. He gives us wisdom to survive and to thrive in the midst of a storm. He gives us courage and creativity. He is our help and our hope. He is our strong tower and a shelter in the time of the storm. He's the God of our weary years, God of our silent tears. He's the one that brought us this far along the way, and I'm here to declare to you this morning that he is still with you. The songwriter says, "He didn't bring me this far to leave me." No correction. The songwriter says, "I don't believe that he brought me this far to leave me." God is able to keep that which you have committed unto him against that day. Y'all know what that means? That means when you're in his hands, you are in his hands forever. He is always present. But then secondly, we need to remember his providence. Now listen carefully. We need to remember his providence. I alluded to it earlier. Divine providence is the governance of God by which he, with wisdom and love, cares for and directs all things in the universe. Aren't you glad about that? God knows about our politics. He knew what our politics would be before we got in the midst of this. That is, he is in charge of all things. The doctrine of divine providence asserts that God is in complete control of all things. The word for that is sovereignty. God is sovereign. He is above all things. He has the last word. It means that God is not distant or passive or unconcerned with your daily events in your life. Rather, he is actively governing the daily events of your life, usually behind the scenes, without taking away your freedom of choice. You are not a puppet, but God is in control. You make your own decisions, but God is in control. He is sovereign. Through divine providence, he accomplishes his will. See, we're not sailing through this for nothing. God has a purpose in mind. That's what providence means. That means that all things work together for good, for God, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That means that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It's divine providence. And he's sending the disciples in the text and you and I through the storm as one method that he's using to accomplish his will in our lives. Y'all got that? Amen. You can say amen after that. I don't like it. It doesn't feel good. But I trust God anyway. And the reason I can trust God is because I know he's working things out for my good. And I know that God knows what he's doing, that he has already prepared in advance what he's going to do because of his providence. So we need to remember that God is present with us, that we are chosen, that we have value with God, that God did not throw us away. And whatever we are experiencing as a people right now in this country, God knows about it and he's present with us in it. Amen. And even if we, like Stephen, get stoned to death, he is standing with us. But if we, like Daniel, get thrown into a lion's den, God is able to stop the mouths of lions. Whatever God chooses to do should be all right with us, because whatever we go through, we know that God is present with us. Amen. We know that God's providential care is poured out upon us. Amen. And even when we see our brothers and sisters die at the hands of racists, we need to understand that God has the last word. The third thing, and I'm finished, that we need to remember is that God has power over storms. The disciples cried out in fear, saying, "Jesus, don't you care what's happening to us?" The Bible says Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Notice in the text his demonstration of divine power. But not only does God have power in Christ, but Christ has given us power through his Holy Spirit. He promised in the Bible that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So you need to know that you've got some power in your situation. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit. Listen, you might not think very much of it, but he gives you the power to witness. How powerful is your witness when you are under the circumstances that you are and you stand and say, "God is good anyway. That Christ died for my sins, and that if you receive him, he can transform your evil life. That it's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you." That you can witness to that. You can witness to the fact that I'm still standing by the grace of God. That if it were not for the grace of God, there go I. And I know that God is alive. I know that he lives because he woke me up this morning and he started me on my way. Now you might think that's rhetoric, but I believe that God is with me and he gives me power. Power to witness, power to live victoriously. Y'all, listen, listen, don't you dare walk around with your head hanging down. Don't you dare walk around embarrassed of who you are. You better live victoriously in the name of Jesus. Live victoriously because he has given you the power to live victoriously under every circumstance. He has the power to give you to take the pressures of life. He gives you power to press on to see what the end will be. He gives you power to trust in him. My brothers and sisters, confidence in God's unassailable sovereignty fuels our worship, doesn't it? Yeah, we get up singing in the morning because we know that God is able. Only those who can see God in the storm can offer him praise all the time. Can you see God in the midst of your storm? That's why you're in worship this morning, isn't it? Because you can see God in the midst of all of this. That's why our Hebrew ancestor wrote, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." And I know we say that all the time, and we should continue to say that, because as long as Jesus is on board, we can learn to trust in him. Learn to trust in him. I want to give you an illustration. I want to give you an illustration this morning. I want to give you, it's not mine, but I'm going to commandeer it. It's an illustration this morning. It's not, it did not originate with me, but I'm going to commandeer it this morning. A few years back, I was coming through the airport, coming from somewhere that I'd only required me to take a light bag. So I had a bag on my shoulder, and when I got off the plane, I saw a young woman who had a baby in one arm, was dragging her bag, and had a toddler walking with her. And she was struggling, and the toddler was walking before her and then would fall behind, and she would grip the baby and pull the bag, and I saw her struggling. And I said to her, Miss, I have a free hand, and if you want me to, I will pull your bag and you can hold your toddler's hand. And she looked at me, looked me up and down and said, no, thank you, I can handle it. And I insisted, ma'am, I have a free hand, I can help you. And she said, no, thank you. And I walked away. And as I thought about it, she was right to say no, thank you. Because I could have taken her bag. I could have took her bag and she never would have caught me. But when you think more deeply about it, had she known me, she would have let me drag her bag. Y'all get that? You can't trust Jesus with your bags until you get to know him. And when you know him, and those of you who know him, who have already given him your bags to carry, you know that he's able and he's trustworthy. The Bible says, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. So the question, my brothers and sisters, is Jesus on board in your life? Is he? If he is not, you can invite him right now. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, period, and you shall be saved. You can cast your cares on him, invite him into your life, and give him your baggage. And then together with you and him, with faith and confidence, you can face any storm because Jesus is on board. Would you give God praise this morning?